Aloha he. Aloha.
Aloha and mahalo for listening. This is episode 159 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I'm one of your hosts. My name's Eric Hangtan Wahlquist, and joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is my best buddy, the Big Kahuna himself.
I'm Jesse Spam and Eggs Wilson.
There you go. Jesse, you are on the eve of a Hawaiian vacation, and I am so jealous.
You should be jealous.
Right?
I'm fairly excited about it, not going to lie. I'm looking forward to the constant 84-degree weather, although after 5 days it has an uptick to 86.
Uh-oh. Balmy.
And going to the breweries and eating sushi.
Yep.
Going on a coffee tour.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
It occurs to me we've never had a Hawaiian listener write in.
That's true. I don't know if we have any Hawaiian listeners.
Well, I'll try and make a few.
Yeah. Hand out a business card if we have one. Anyway, Jesse, you're going on your honeymoon tomorrow. I think you're probably really happy that you're podcasting tonight, so you can just pass some time until tomorrow arrives and you can fly to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's like being busy on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Keep yourself occupied. Exactly. I still have to pack.
This is Occupy Jesse's brain.
Uh-huh.
It's like the Occupy Wall Street movement, but there's less bare feet.
You know, I was actually just thinking today that they could make a TV show or a movie that's like a little bit like being John Malkovich, but right. Call it Occupy Wahlquist.
Oh, well. Ooh. It'd be exactly like John Malkovich?
I've never actually seen it. I'm presuming, but...
Yeah, basically you just go in this little door, and then you go into John Malkovich's head, and then you get spit out on the Jersey Turnpike.
Perfect.
That's the movie. That's spoiler alert, by the way.
Oh, wow.
So, Jesse, how was your week?
Good. Went camping, as
went
you
camping.
Know.
Yeah. So, let's talk a little bit about, because Jesse and I went camping this weekend with our wives and Jesse's daughter. And let's talk a little bit about camping sans campfire, or as I like to call not camping.
Cold camping.
Cold camping. Oh, my God. So there's a burn ban going on, and there's a burn ban every summer, right? But every time there's been a burn ban, I go to the park to camp, and you can light a fire in the campfire circle because it's, like, very contained. It's surrounded by metal. It's usually the campsite's dirt. Like, there's nothing flammable around it. And campfires, frankly, forest fires, frankly, don't usually start with campfires. It's usually like a cigarette or a car in a grassy field. So, anyway, we arrive at the campsite. And, actually, you arrived. You arrived first.
Yeah.
So what happened with the old people? What did they tell you?
Well, there's a couple of old people who I guess are like camp hosts or something, which is actually basically what I want to do once I retire.
Mm-hmm.
As I want to be one of the old people who basically live at the campground.
Right.
But, so they come by with, like, clipboard and stuff. And, I was immediately thrown off because they had name tags. And they had, like, some weird, like, logo on the side of their truck.
Right.
Because I guess this is, like, a campsite that's, like, it's, like, U.S.,
It's a Forest Service campsite, but they, like, hire...
National Forest.
Yeah, they contract... out with this company to basically maintain their sites.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's never a good thing when you have to wear a name tag. No offense to anyone wearing a name tag right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, so...
You know what I'm talking about.
He was actually really polite and nice to me when he first came by. And he was like, there's a burn ban. And I actually didn't know. And he was like, yeah, I can't have any campfires or anything. He told me that earlier in the weekend, the day before, a guy at a adjacent... campground had gotten a $1,000 fine from the sheriff's department.
Yeah, and that's what happened. I show up, Jesse goes, yeah, there's a burn ban, we can't have any fire. Meanwhile, we brought 5 bundles of firewood.
I know. There's never been so much firewood.
Right. We were like Salem circa 1680. We had so much firewood. And
normally I'm like, I'm normally like... paranoid about using up all my firewood. I have to, like, ration it out and
Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. And I didn't want that either. So we just...
And this was going to be the coup de grace
of fire. Yeah, exactly. Actually, probably a good thing there was a bird band. But, yeah, I show up and Jesse's like, yeah, we can't have fires. And I was like, well, how much is the fine? And he's like, $1,000. And I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty good fine.
That's a preventative measure.
I mean, there are some people, not me personally, I've never gotten a speeding ticket personally. Knock on wood.
Really?
Never in my life. Never been pulled over.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Over a decade of driving. Perfect driving records, sir.
Congratulations.
Not a perfect parking record, but a perfect driving record. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure some people see that as like basically they're just paying their dues to drive at the speed that they want to drive.
Right.
Like, if you're going to pay $160 every couple months to drive at whatever speed you want to drive at, that's just like that's your speed license. It's like,
yeah,
I'll just pay my dues. I'll pay my road rental and I'll speed however I want. So I was going to try to do that, but apparently, yeah, campfire is a very serious offense in these parts.
Yeah, so. I mean, starting a forest fire is a bad thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
agreed, especially right next to a national park. Probably not a great idea. But
to be fair, it is a volcano. So
to be fair,
you know, the bird band's not going to do too much when Mount Rainier erupts.
That is true.
At least that's what I would tell the officer.
So basically, we did the only thing we could do. We sat around in the dark and got drunk, and then went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But still,
it was good times.
Yeah, I had a great time on the camping trip.
We saved the day with your stove.
Yeah, propane stoves, man. I think I'm sold.
I bought one on the way home, actually.
Well, why not? So, Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
Free beer from work, as per usual.
Mm-hmm. And you requested this, or you endorsed this last week, and so I decided to pick it up, the LTD Lager Series from Full Sail Bohemian Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, dog.
Good stuff.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it thoroughly. I also
Glad
got
like
a,
it.
For later, I got a little Goose Island Summertime. Never had the Goose Island beers before, out of New York. Don't really drink a lot of East Coast beer, but...
I don't think they're out of New York.
That's what it says in the bottle.
What? I thought they're from, like, Chicago or something.
Goose Island Beer Co. in Baldwinsville, New York. That's where all the Baldwins came from. and apparently beer. But it's a good serviceable beer. Actually, the summertime is my favorite. It's a really nice, refreshing light beer. So there you go. Dedication this week. We are going to dedicate the show this week.
See, this says headquarters Chicago, Illinois, USA.
Well, I don't know. It's just what it says on the bottle. I'm just reading the bottle.
Well, maybe it's part of the whole, because they're owned by Budweiser now. So maybe they
damn it. Damn it. I wish I would have known that. That's what I found out, that Blue Moon is like owned by like Coors. Did you?
Yeah, Blue Moon, Shock Top, obviously. It should be. It's basically a giveaway if you see a TV ad.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So dedication this week. I'm going to dedicate this show to a couple guys
who are up to no good.
Up in the province of Alberta, Canada, the Hex 19 crew. You got Yuri, you got Aaron, you got Brett, and you've... I said Aaron, because it's Aaron, but Aaron has screwed me up. You got Yuri, you got Aaron, you got Brett, and you got Glenn. The Alberta boys, hope to see you all at PAX in a week and a half. And if you want some geek stuff, dude, they keep up their site like nobody's business. It is hex19.com. You can go there right now. They got a Plants vs. Zombies 2 article, and they also have a playthrough of the most recent Forza title, which actually looks pretty cool. So, Hex 19, couldn't find nicer guys, not named Jordy Hoyt.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping to steal a couple of them away for a full six-player game of a Game of Thrones board game.
Oh, I'm sure that can happen. Not to mention... they have weird accents, which I kind of forgot. But then I was watching the YouTube video of Yuri playing that game, and I was like, he says certain words weird because he's Canadian. That's my favorite thing about the Canadian accent is it only comes out on like 12 words. But when you hear it, it really throws you off.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting when they come down here to Washington and have their funny accents.
Exactly. So Jesse, we didn't get a ton of listener feedback this week. But
yeah, we didn't really call for it either.
We didn't call for it, and we also, you know, it's the lazy days of summer, guys. So speaking of being lazy, let's just skip right to the little tiny Matt Roloff. What do you say?
Yeah, I'd say he's an industrious guy, though.
Who?
Matt Roloff.
I wasn't saying he's lazy. I'm saying we're lazy.
Oh, okay. I mean, he built a roller coaster in his backyard, for crying out loud.
Man.
I rolled a 16.
I keep rolling off the table, and I've dropped my D20, and so I'm getting another one out of my bag, and I rolled a 13.
All right.
So you go. Jesse, what is your first topic this week?
Well, I'm going to start off with a new topic title that I call, well, this is going to piss off Eric.
Excellent. Great.
So it could also be classified under beer, I guess.
Yeah, can't wait to hear it.
So this is from the blog brewbound.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline is Brew Talk Seattle, a city indifferent towards craft beer.
What?
So Brew Talks is some sort of, I don't know, I guess, discussion about the craft beer industry that did like a trip from L.A. through Portland, Seattle.
Uh-huh.
To talk about the different beer cultures in the different cities.
Right.
And so who participated in this? Let me find out real quick. It took place at the brewery Two Beers.
Okay.
Which is still kind of a young
brewery. Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's down in southern Seattle there. And Joel Vanderbink, the founder of Two Beers, said, I would define Seattle as a city indifferent towards craft beer. They don't lean one way against, and they don't really do too much for craft beer.
Oh, my Lord.
Vanderbink joined Ryan Hilliard, co-founder of Hilliard's Beer, and Kendall Jones, the founder of Washington Beer Blog, in a discussion about the cultural and civic institutions that help promote craft beer cultures in Seattle.
Right.
Jones passionately explained that Seattle is commonly viewed as very progressive, but that it's regressive in many ways outsiders don't consider. So, his quote here is, the problem is in Seattle, and let's just take a step aside to, I mean, I think the listeners know how much of a Seattle homer you are.
I am quite possibly one of the biggest Seattle homers.
I think at this point in your life, you consider yourself like, your home is Seattle, eh?
My home is Seattle, and I plan to live here. I am completely sincere in saying that I plan to live in Seattle until the day I die. I plan to live, have my home base in this city until I die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay.
Well, that's about as homer as it gets.
Yeah. Anyway.
So according to this guy, the problem in Seattle, we're known for the Space Needle. There are people in this town that resent the fact that we are known for the Seahawks or Mariners. There are people who don't want Seattle known for anything.
That's BS.
And then they referenced the recent excise tax that was proposed that would have raised the tax by four times, which we've discussed on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, but then
before.
What happened? A bunch of passionate craft beer people decided to step forward and made the governor repeal that? But we are indifferent. We are indifferent people, aren't we? Yeah, we're not involved. We're not involved in craft beer.
Bringing that up as a point kind of reinforces something that irritates me. Mm-hmm. I'm a Washingtonian, but I'm definitely not a Seattle guy. And I hate when people lump all of Washington into Seattle. And you can't blame like something that was proposed in the city of Olympia, which is the state capital, by lawmakers from all over the state of Washington on Seattle.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Like, they're faulting Seattle for that. I find it really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I would say that didn't come from Seattle. I would say that probably came from lawmakers outside of Seattle. I mean, it's just a numbers game. And I'm sure I could back that up. But yeah, also, Washington is an incredibly diverse state. You drive... Like, you know, I drove 2 hours from Seattle to go camping, and I might as well have been in a completely different place. I mean,
right.
You're basically in the dank, deep forest where there's literally 55 miles between gas stations, and then there's nothing but forest in between. Like, and then you go over the mountains, and then you basically have farm country. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
And then, yeah, that's not even a mention, like, Spokane.
Yeah, or Yakima, Palm Springs of Washington.
Yeah.
Or
I feel like Washington suffers from a sort of identity crisis because mm-hmm. I think people nationwide know more about Seattle than about Washington as a whole.
Oh, absolutely.
And when people think of Washington, they think of Seattle first. What do you think are some other states that suffer from this? Maybe Massachusetts? People think Boston
immediately? I think that is warranted because Massachusetts is pretty small. I mean, you're basically within a couple hours of – I mean, that'd be like if Washington was like Seattle to Ellensburg. Like, it would be a little bit different. But it's actually really interesting that you bring this up because there was a – I'm trying to find the article here, and I think I'm just about here. But it was done by businessinsider.com. They basically did this poll, and they asked people to just – they would just ask people, what's the weirdest state? And then people give their answer. What's the nicest state? Or what's the smartest state? Or whatever. And the funniest thing about it is that there were basically like five states that everybody answered for each of these. So it's basically like five states on everyone's mind. Yeah. I think that there's the big ones that you could say, which is New York and California, Texas. But the other ones were more interesting to me. It was basically Mississippi and Minnesota. So things like let's see which state has the worst food?
Oh, Minnesota.
Minnesota not even really on the map. It was Mississippi and Alaska tied for worst food.
Alaska.
Which state is your favorite?
Minnesota.
California was top dog, but Colorado was actually up there tied with Florida and New York.
Colorado is a sweet state.
Colorado is a sweet state. Yeah. Also Colorado tied with Hawaii.
Hawaii. Well, you know, I'll have a chance to test that theory out here real quick.
What state is your least favorite?
Minnesota.
Texas won that one. Which state is the craziest? California, number one. New York, number two. Texas, number three. Which state has the hottest residents? California. It's like basically.
Well, there might be a point there.
Yeah, that's probably right. But one that I thought was ridiculous was which state has the most beautiful scenery? And Colorado definitely actually Minnesota. Won this one. So definitely Minnesota. But Colorado actually won this one. But one of the states that didn't get any votes at all, whereas Montana got votes, Utah got votes, North Carolina got votes, Vermont got votes. One of the states that was completely blank here is Idaho. Idaho has amazing scenery. Nobody knows anything about Idaho.
I don't know anything. I think Idaho suffers from what Washington suffers from. You say Washington, people think Seattle. Right. But Idaho doesn't even have a city that jumps to mind. I think people think the blue field.
Right, Boise State. I mean, Boise is the biggest city in Idaho.
Or they think skinheads.
Yeah, that's true. Coeur d'Alene. But by the way, Coeur d'Alene is like one of the most beautiful places in the Pacific Northwest. Beautiful. You know, Idaho, I think, is one that gets really overlooked quite a bit.
Let's get back to this.
Oh, sorry.
this article real quick.
Jesse, you completely were not right when you said this would piss me off or get me right.
I know. You tried to get out of it by just talking about other states because it was making you so mad.
Yeah.
So do you think that Seattle might suffer from some sort of, I guess, like self-loathing?
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's absolutely obscene to think – make a statement like, yeah, Seattleites aren't really into craft beer when the city of Seattle has been able to support the craft beer revolution in a lot of big ways. I mean, it's crazy to say something like that when all you have to do is look at the number of breweries.
Yeah.
Like, you sell your beer or you die as a brewery.
Yeah, and you can go to Ballard, which is just a neighborhood, here in Seattle. 7 breweries in Ballard.
Yeah.
Not to mention, if you go within a mile of Ballard, there's like 12 breweries.
So do you think this is some sort of like hipster, like, actually it's not that great kind of attitude?
I don't mean to be an elitist here, but this guy doesn't sound like a real Seattleite to me.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I mean, he does work in South Seattle, which is technically, in my book, not real Seattle. It's the South.
I don't know, man. I really like, what do you call that district?
What, Georgetown?
Yeah, Georgetown.
Yeah, Georgetown's got its charms, but come on. I mean, Ballard's way better than Georgetown. It's got its charms for what it
they're
is.
They're both cool. Yeah. They're both cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I thought that would piss you off. I read that. I was like, oh, man, Eric would beat Steven.
That statement's ridiculous. I mean, how can you say Seattle doesn't support craft breweries? When you go anywhere else in the country, you walk in, you go to the bar, and you're basically got all of your major national brands there sitting on tap, and maybe one or two craft beers, maybe if you're lucky, three. You go to any bar in Seattle, and it's the majority of them are craft breweries, most of them from either – Washington or Oregon. Oh God!
I also think it's a shitty thing to say. Yeah. As a business owner who relies on the people of Seattle to support your business, to say that the city is indifferent. That'd be like your sports team. Like, actually, like the Seahawks are great, but our fans kind of suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't really need our fans that much. They're not good fans.
That'd be a perfect analogy. A team that has sold out every game since like 2003.
Yeah. Our fans aren't that great.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe this guy had, like, a bad day, or maybe he's having some, like, bad business going on, and he's blaming it on other people instead of himself.
It could be.
I don't know.
It's just a weird thing.
It bums me out, dude. Like, you are completely correct. That statement got me riled up.
It seems like there was a discussion where everyone was agreeing with themselves, too. Like, it would have been nice to have a dissenting argument injected in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure there's plenty of brewers in Seattle who'd be like, you know, I think it's a pretty good craft beer city.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this is the birthplace of two of the original craft breweries, Winmer Brothers, or not Winmer Brothers. What's the one? Well, I know Red Hook.
Pyramid?
No, Red Hook. I was thinking, anyway.
Were you thinking Thomas Kemper?
Probably. Give me a great sarsaparilla.
Thomas Kemper's from Paulsbo originally.
Hey now. Yeah. Well, that got me riled up. And Seattle's a great beer town.
Well, bring that energy into your first topic.
All right. Well, Jesse, my first topic is going to be movies.
Okay, Oprah.
So, Jesse, this is a topic that this might get you riled up, but in a good way. Because there was a pretty major announcement this week. And I think you're going to be pretty excited about it.
One of the least stealthy Civil War generals, by the way. Major announcement. I guess he wasn't a general, but
he was a major.
Commanders.
No, he was just a general announcement. He's a very underwhelming general. Dang it. Ugh. Okay, so Jesse, this announcement was made this week. I know you're going to be excited about full cast and plot revealed for...
This Avengers.
The Expendables 3.
Ooh, okay. I am actually excited.
I told you.
This is my Avengers.
It really is. So, Jesse, can you just explain your love for both Expendables 1 and Expendables 2?
Well, Expendables, you know, I don't even, maybe I didn't see Expendables 2.
You said that you saw it and you thought it was better than the first one.
Did I see both of them?
I think so.
See, this is what's great about the Expendables, is you can watch them and not even know the difference between one and the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, some of my favorite movies are, you know, Predator,
right.
Aliens, mm-hmm. Running Man,
yep.
Commando.
There you go.
What was the one where Arnold Schwarzenegger lost his daughter and had to get her back?
True Lies?
No, but...
Collateral Damage?
A lot of those. Anyway, any of those are great.
I think that's love 14 Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
Yeah, that's basically, he made a career over losing his daughter.
Yeah. Jingle All the Way?
Yeah, I think it was Jingle All the Way. But like late 80s, early 90s action movies are some of my favorite.
Right.
And basically Sylvester Stallone was just like, fuck it, let's make another one of those movies and be totally shameless about it and have an all-star cast.
Well, the big to-do here was that Bruce Willis famously turned down being in this movie.
Right. He wanted too much money, or...
Yeah, basically, he... he's been kind of a douche lately, at least
he
in public.
He seems like he could be a douche.
Yeah, like, there was this interview that surfaced, a video of an interview that he was doing for Red 2, and... granted, the guy was not a good interviewer, but you know what? This is what you do as an actor. You do the acting, you go out, you do the press tour, you promote the film, it makes money, then you make money, and it works. It's just it's the system.
Right.
Bruce Willis sits there and basically just verbally berates this guy for like 3 minutes.
How so?
He just, like, is very uncooperative, gives one-word answers to all of his questions, and then, like, personally insults him a couple of times just by saying, like, he starts off the interview by saying, you know, I'm sure you have your questions, and you probably thought about this a lot, but, like, this is not fun for us. Like, making the movie's fun for us. Sitting here and talking to you is not fun for us. It was just, okay.
Well, it's part of your job.
Exactly. Like, just being a douche, like, for no reason. Like, there's no reason to be that guy. And, like, Kevin Smith has famously come out and said that he was really hard to work with on Cop Out.
Right.
So, anyway, he just hasn't been, like, batting 1,000 in the public's eye lately. Which is fine. I'm sure he has plenty of money. He could just retreat to his Idaho ranch and chill. Because nobody knows.
He's got the haircut for it.
Yeah, nobody even thinks about Idaho, obviously. Anyway, he decided to turn it down. Apparently, they wanted him for 4 days of filming. They were going to pay him $3 million. And he said he wanted $4 million. And they were like, okay, we're actually in talks with someone else. Boom, got someone else, Harrison Ford.
Oh, snap. Upgraded.
Get off my plane. I really hope that that line is in here. So they also got some really interesting other guys for this movie. So here's the full cast list. Sylvester Stallone returns. Jason Statham returns as his right-hand man knife expert friend. Jet Li returns.
That's on his business card. Right-hand man knife expert friend.
Yeah. Dolph Lundgren returns. Randy Couture returns. Terry Crews returns. Terry Crews, probably my favorite expendable. You may know him as the Old Spice guy. Arnold Schwarzenegger coming back for a bigger role. The aforementioned Harrison Ford. And then these three, Jesse, which I hope you're excited about, Wesley Snipes.
Oh, good.
Coming back out of prison, straight out of prison.
Straight out of C-Block.
For tax evasion, coming out and doing the Expendables, getting back on the scene. Antonio Banderas.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
A little Latin flair.
Yeah, a little Puss in Boots. And then finally, Jesse, I think you're going to be excited about this, Mel Gibson.
Oh, God. Oh, my.
The Australian anti-Semite himself is going to be gracing the screen.
Man, that's amazing.
Isn't that?
That's so good. I mean, he's right in that caliber of action stars. It's amazing the little turnaround in his career.
It really is. I mean, you take the snapshot of 80s to mid-90s Mel Gibson. There was a point where he was, like, the biggest star in Hollywood. Like, remember when he made, like, What Women Want, and like that was like a huge movie. It was a gigantic movie just because Mel Gibson was in it. But we're talking the Lethal Weapon franchise. We're talking Mad Max. Like, I really wish that they would have gotten Danny Glover.
I know. That's what I was just thinking. They need Danny Glover. They need Carl Weathers.
Absolutely. But I say pretty solid lineup.
Totally solid. And that's what's great about the Expendables movies is they keep tacking people on.
Yeah. And it makes sense. And they tack on the guys that make sense. The one guy that I really wish that they would get is Nick Cage.
Oh, Nick Cage would be great. And I feel like he would do it.
Yeah, and I feel like John Travolta could also do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would rather have Bill Paxton.
Yeah, Bill Paxton would actually be really, really good.
It's like the wacky guy.
Yeah, like reprise his role from Aliens.
Or Bill Paxton and Sigourney Weaver.
Well, there you go. Well,
they need some ladies up in here.
They are making the female Expendables. They're putting together that film.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you hear that?
/film.com.
Is that what it's going to be called?
I don't think so. I'll probably go up with a different name. But let me read you the plot synopsis. So this is the Expendables 3. In the Expendables 3, Barney, who's Stallone, Christmas, who is Statham, and the rest of the team come face to face with Conrad Stonebanks. Great name, played by Mel Gibson.
What ethnicity is he supposed to be?
Conrad Stonebanks? Apparently, I think he's got it. That's a total British name. That is a British name for sure.
Oh, Conrad. I thought you were saying comrade.
No, Conrad.
Like, enjoy the revolution, comrade.
Conrad Stonebanks. He's a British defector during the Cold War.
Yeah, there you go.
Who years ago co-founded the Expendables with Barney. Stonebanks subsequently became a ruthless arms trader and someone who Barney was forced to kill, or so he thought, Stonebakes, who eluded death once before, now is making it his mission to end the Expendables. But Barney has other plans. Barney decides that he has to fight old blood with new blood and brings in a new era of Expendables team members, recruiting individuals who are younger, faster, and more tech-savvy. The latest mission becomes a clash of classic old-school style versus high-tech expertise in the Expendables' most personal battle yet.
I love it. Who's going to be the new guy? Like Ryan Gosling?
No, it's actually this guy Kellan Lutz. I think he was like one of the werewolves in Twilight or something.
Oh, great.
But then also, Victor Ortiz, who is like a boxer or a mixed martial arts guy.
Oh, yeah, I know of him.
Yeah, Victor Ortiz.
What about that guy from the Mac commercials? The young
one.
Well,
see, then that would just be a straight ripoff of Die Hard 4. But that's actually what this reminded me of. And I really liked Die Hard 4. I thought Die Hard 4 was solid.
I liked it, too.
That's exactly what it was. It was basically like, we have these old action guys, but we don't really need them anymore because the Edward Snowdens of the world are doing their jobs for them. And we'll just
Edward Snowden in the role of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Expendables 4, Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, and Bradley Manning.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that's actually kind of what I wanted to move to, Jesse. And that was the precursor to the topic. This is the actual topic. I want to make the Geek Spendables. So if you think about the kings and queens of nerddom, if you were going to make the Geek Spendables, who would you want in the Geek Spendables?
Okay. Well, I think we should each pick a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Who would each our leader be? And for me, I'm going with an OG.
Yep.
Get that wisdom.
Uh-huh.
From Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy. Oh, God, that's a good one. That's a good leader.
I read something recently, probably off of Reddit, that in one of the original Star Trek scripts, he was supposed to subdue Captain Kirk by giving – oh, it was off of Cracked, actually.
Okay.
Like, in the original script, he was supposed to just, like, clock Kirk in the face and knock him out. But Nimoy was like, that doesn't seem like a Vulcan, and invented the nerve pinch to knock him out.
Yeah.
Like, defying the script, because he actually had a better understanding of what a Vulcan would be like.
And the nerve pinch is really resurrected nicely in Star Trek II Into Darkness. In the fight between Spock and Khan. So that's a good one. Leonard Nimoy, that's great. I'm not going to fault that, but I definitely have a better leader than you. Acting experience on local Seattle television and now a national name.
Joel McHale?
Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill Nye the Science Guy.
That's true. Science is good, but I almost want like I want my science guy to be a specialist, not the leader.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll go Neil deGrasse Tyson, because I do want Nye on the squad.
Neil is your leader.
Yeah, Neil is our leader.
I've watched some kind of weird stuff with Neil in it, where, I don't know.
I don't want to hear about that.
He gets built up into this
hero. Oh, he does. He's a great speaker. I mean, he's basically a great speaker, and he's incredibly smart.
He's not a great TV host. I'm going to say it.
All right, fine. All right, so we have our leaders. Now, Jesse.
So I need a science. Let's do science guy next.
Okay.
I want my science specialist, even though maybe he's not so great at science, but I want the Adam from Mythbusters.
He's a great science guy. That's a perfect one.
Okay.
And just for the rivalry, I want Jamie.
Oh, the walrus himself.
Yeah. Give me the walrus. Oh, my God.
We've met in person.
My team is crazy. It's Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Nye, and Jamie Hyman.
You got some real
got some heavy hitters.
Mustache power.
Super mustache power.
Okay, what's the next specialist we need?
All right, now we need like the hip young guy.
The gamer? The hip young guy. Right. Huh? Or gal.
This is the guy or gal that it gets butts in the seats.
Mm.
This is like the cool guy.
All right, why don't you go first on this one?
It's a little tough because I feel like there's a few that fit the bill. I think Chris Hardwick would fit the bill, but unfortunately I cannot stand his interview techniques. So I'm just going to go with Felicia Day.
Felicia Day, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm also going to choose a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Early celebrity guest on our podcast, Abby Heppe.
Abby Heppe.
I feel like Abby Heppe could get faces and seats.
Absolutely. Former,
as it were.
Former G4 reporter, editor.
And current spokesperson.
Yeah, community manager for Respawn Entertainment, which is doing Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
That's some heavy hitting stuff.
Yeah. No mustache again. I'm mustacheless.
You are. I guess the question here is who's taking Will Wheaton?
Yeah, you know, I actually thought he would be a leader position.
I don't like him in the leader position. I think you need somebody a little older and a little wiser.
He made the cover of Beer Advocate magazine, by the way.
Say what?
Yeah, a picture of him. He's always on Reddit talking about homebrewing, and it was a picture of him homebrewing wearing a Reddit t-shirt on Beer Advocate.
Yeah, that makes
magazine.
Sense. Yeah. Well. Okay, so I have an idea here. Why don't we get our teams together?
Let's do one more.
Okay.
We need a game designer.
Game designer. Okay.
Yeah. Someone who puts together, like, either programs or build games or something like that.
Well, I mean, I think Ken Levine is probably the best one here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to go with somebody who's a little less well known, but who's near and dear to my heart. That is Richard Lanius, who designed the game Arkham Horror.
Oh,
yeah, and he's designed a lot of games since. But yeah, I think I'm going to pick Richard Lanius. You can have Ken Levine if you want.
No, I'm going with Stephen Jackson.
Really?
Not of Munchkin. Of the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. He could just beat up everyone on your team.
Excellent. There you go.
He's a playmaker.
He is a playmaker.
Okay. No mustache.
Yeah.
Either him or Klaas Teuber.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, no. Yua Rosenberg of Agricola. That's who I'm actually
going with. All right. There you go.
Yua Rosenberg of Agricola riding on the back of Steve Jackson from the Atlanta Falcons.
I think we have some solid teams here. I think our teams should team up. They start as enemies, but then they have to team up against a greater evil. Someone who brings the monsters. Someone who brings the horror to this realm. Someone who brings realistic and crazy creatures into everyone's minds. None other than Mr. Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, I thought you were going with Electronic Arts.
Yeah, absolutely. As the evil mastermind, Guillermo del Toro. I think he's like king. I think if I had to pick a king of the nerds, it would be Guillermo del Toro.
King of the nerd villains.
Yeah. I like it. So anyway, that's the Geek Spendables. I think they're Geek Spendable. I
don't think any one of them's expendable.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to our trivia. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, Trivia Nation here. We're going to do a little tiny Matt roll off. See which category of Trivial Pursuit Genus 1 we're doing. Last week we ended up redoing that Richard Nixon question, which I think we've asked like 3 times. John O'Brien decided to tweet us and say, hey, you guys are idiots. You've done this question like so many times before. And we get it wrong every time, too. So.
Friend of the show, Mars, told me once that he had listened to like a new episode and an old episode in the same day, and we got the same question wrong, and he wanted to like piece them all together and do a segment called What Have We Learned? Apparently nothing.
All right, well, let's see if we can do it again. The category is Science and Nature.
S&M, baby.
Are you ready, Jesse? Here's your question. What invention...
We just went camping, and we just talked about science.
That's
so
true. So we should get all of these incorrect. What invention does the principle of conservation of energy make possible?
What invention? The conservation of energy?
Yeah.
The atomic bomb?
I would assume it would be a lot of inventions.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think.
I'm going to go with the rubber band. A perpetual motion machine.
Yeah, if you make it in, like, space.
That was a dumb question.
Anyway.
Dumb question, but it was a question nonetheless. Jesse, this one's for me. What kind of animals was Napoleon terrified of?
Huh.
I'm going to say dogs.
I'm going to say Russians. Wait, lions.
Russian lions? You're very close, Jesse. It's cats.
Give it to me.
I don't know.
Give it to me. I get a half point for that one.
Jury's still out. This one's for you, Jesse. What vegetable yields the most pounds of produce per acre?
Potatoes.
That's probably it. I'm going to go with beets. The cabbage.
Yeah, I guess potatoes aren't vegetables, huh?
I like that this says the cabbage is the answer. The cabbage.
Great Batman villain.
I am the cabbage.
The cabbage.
Prepare to get crunched. All right, this one's for me. I need half a point to tie. What is the simplest gem in chemical composition? I'm going to go with diamond.
I was going to say diamond, too. I don't know. A ruby.
Oh, it's a diamond. And
yeah,
I also
it's pure
like,
carbon, eh?
Yeah, and I also like that diamond is capitalized, like Neil Diamond. When it began.
Or Dustin Diamond.
Eric won trivia. But Jesse won the mad roll off. What? Okay, what's your next topic?
Okay, so again, I'm defying convention here, and I want to start a new topic.
Uh-huh.
That I'm calling getting personal.
Oh, getting personal.
So, it's an exciting time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna lie. I'm working as a brewer. And
right.
I've learned a lot, but honestly, for a variety of reasons, I feel like it's time to move on from my personal station.
Uh-huh.
And I have a couple of opportunities in front of me, and
what?
I thought that maybe we could discuss them, and
yeah.
Perhaps by the time I'm done with the segment, I'll be wiser and on the path to success.
Uh-huh.
I got basically three things going on here.
Cool.
And we'll talk about them, pros and cons, and see where we go. So
right.
The first one is to move to Bend, Oregon.
Right.
You've never been to Bend,
mm-mm,
Eric.
Mm-mm.
You would love it. It's a cool town.
Uh-huh.
It's let me do a little search here to see what the population is like. But it's home to a ton of breweries. It's like the best brewer city to live in. And it's like, you know, if you want to be a movie star, move to L.A., right?
Right.
So if you want to be a brewer, move to Bend.
Minnesota. Oh, Bend. Bend.
Yeah, so it's a real appealing thing. I think I could get a job there.
Yeah.
The cost of living is lower than where I'm living at right now, which is
wow.
Part of the reason why I need to leave Port Townsend.
Right.
Because it's fucking expensive to live here.
Yep.
So let's see. There's... population of 76,000. So that's a pretty good sized city.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of breweries. Pretty cool place.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have anything lined up
right.
there, but right. I don't think it would be necessarily a big challenge for me to move there and find a job.
Okay.
And it gets hot in the summer and
uh-huh.
it snows in the winter.
Yep.
It's which I want. I'm getting sick of this Olympic Peninsula.
Rain
40
shadow.
To 60 degree constantly.
Right.
I mean, a good 80% of the year is between 40 and 60 degrees.
Yeah, absolutely. 85 maybe even.
And, yeah, and raining.
Yeah.
So that's option one. Option two is try to raise a bit of money
uh-huh.
through Kickstarter or personal investors or otherwise and stay in Port Townsend.
Right.
And open a craft distillery.
Okay.
Which I'm 100% confident that I can do.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, what's the third option?
Well, okay. So the third option is there's a guy that I know
uh-huh.
who has recently bought a license, a bar license in a town called Craig, Montana.
Okay.
Which is half an hour outside of Helena, Montana.
Okay.
Which is where I would move to.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to be making and distributing lagers by next summer. And
wow.
he has asked me to come on as his brewer.
Wow.
So this Helena has a population of 28,000.
Yep.
Much smaller than Bend. not going to lie, I don't know that there's much going on in this town. But there's not really much going on in the town that I live in now.
Yeah, but and...
it's basically a done deal if I want to do this. I just kind of have to say the word. And I could go in as a partner and get this thing going.
And 28,000 is about the size of Port Orchard, Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a small town.
Small town. It's not as small as Paulsbo.
But I live in a small town. The town I live in right now has a population of 9,000.
Yeah. So bigger than that.
Twice.
Yeah.
But Port Townsend is beautiful. I do love it here.
Well, I'm sure Montana is also beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I've driven through Helena. I've driven the Yellowstone National Park. And Montana's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little flatter. A little less trees. But home to Glacier National Park.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, I could spend my summers camping out in Yellowstone, and, you know, if I did have some sort of ownership, I could use my winters to travel.
Well, yeah, and you're 12 hours from Seattle. You're also 12 hours from Denver.
Yeah.
By car. Which
right.
Which is a haul, but it is drivable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know. I always tend to, I'm more of a safe guy. I like the safe
bet. None of my options are safe right now.
I feel like the Montana is the safest.
Well, the safest is me to stay doing what I'm doing right now.
That's true. That's
true. But that's not really what I want to do.
That is true. I think the safest does sound like Montana. And you'd be stepping right into a role that you've wanted for a while.
Which is
being a head brewer. And then the foundation's in place there. So the difference between that and opening your own, and starting your own investment and opening your own distillery in Port Townsend is really not all that different, except that the infrastructure is already in place in Montana. Bend sounds like the most fun, but it also sounds like the most, I don't know if it sounds like the most uncertain. I'd say it's the second most uncertain. I think probably opening your own distillery is probably the most uncertain.
Yeah, that would be a big... journey into the unknown.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, if I had to choose which one, I would probably just go to Bend and see what happens.
Uh-huh.
But the downside of that, I think Bend, it's interesting because I feel like the opening the distillery and the moving to Montana both have high upside and it's so tough. You got to look at upside and downside, right?
Right.
I mean, it's pros and cons kind of even out because you're going to be able to find as many pros and cons as cons for each place. But upside, downside, I think Bend has definitely the lowest upside, but it probably also has the lowest downside.
Right. Bend is gorgeous. I mean, it'd be a great place to live. It'd be a great place to do something safe.
It sounds like worst case scenario, you'd just have your same job that you have now, but at a brewery in Bend. That would be like worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that'd be a good worst-case scenario. The worst-case scenario is I'm overestimating my qualifications and I can't actually find a job in Bend.
Right.
That would be the worst-case
scenario. I would
be
a big fan of choosing before – or getting a job before you move there.
Yeah, if I were going to do that, I think I'd go down for like a week and shop around at all the breweries and talk to the brewers and really get something
and Bend
solid.
Bend also has a – it's the safest bet. And it's got good upside. It's got low downside, in my opinion. Opening your own distillery, that has really high upside, but also has, like, probably the most downside potential.
Going out of business.
Right. And then there's similar downside, but there's less risk with the move to Montana. And there's also similar upside to opening your own distillery. So I don't know. It's a really tough decision.
It is a tough decision. I'm gonna have a week to ruminate on it over in Hawaii, as it were. But I'm getting ready to pull the trigger on something, and it's exciting.
Sense. Yeah, absolutely. I think you and I both are. For a long time, this is called getting personal.
Yeah.
For a long time, we have been big talkers and low doers.
Yeah.
For quite a while. And I feel like we're finally entering the part of your life. And I think that this is really common for people who are entering their late 20s is for them to kind of just start getting shit done.
Yeah, the GSD period. Yeah,
because it's, you know, it's kind of the time in your life where you, you know, when I was working at the PBS station doing documentary work, like the producer that I worked for would tell me, you know, you want to develop your voice, and it's really hard to know what your voice is when you're like 22 years old.
Right.
You think you know what your voice is, but you really don't. And like, it's just the type of thing. Yes. And yes, there are exceptions to this rule. I'm not saying everybody is this way. But at least for me, when I look back at my 22-year-old self, I am so much more confident in who I am right now. And I'm just, it just makes me a happier person. It makes me think that I can do what I need to do to be happy. And I've already achieved things in my life that I've wanted to achieve. You know, I've wanted to move to Seattle and become a Seattleite. I've been able to do that. I've wanted to work for a major company in Seattle. I've been able to do that. I've been able to kind of set my life here, and now I feel the power to move forward and actually accomplish things. It's no small token that, like, you know, the podcast kind of was one of the first things that we actually did as two people. But it's also like this HP Pubcraft Love Crawl, like actually just doing it instead of just talking about it and dreaming it up, like, you know. But yeah, actually just stepping in, rolling up your sleeves and getting it done and making it cool. Like, I feel like we are at a time in our lives where we are empowered. We are now self-empowered to make the decisions that we want. And it's an exciting time. It's really exciting.
You created one of my favorite quotes, which is 90% of doing something is just doing it.
Right. 90% of doing stuff is doing stuff.
And I'm ready to start doing something and hopefully fill in that extra 10% with skill and hard work and perseverance and everything, but just doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So. Like, and even in podcasting, like, I feel like, you know, in just us doing this podcast for the last 3 years, like, when I get off this podcast and I'm like, yeah, that was kind of a dud. Like, every once in a while, you're like, yeah, that was kind of just a throwaway episode. I listen back to it and I'm like, oh my God, we're pretty good at this. Like, even the ones that I think are not that great, they pull off pretty nicely.
This is why I think we should have a morning radio show. That is secretly my dream job. Morning radio host.
I would love to be a radio host. That would be really fun. That's been one of my dream jobs for a long time. I mean, if I could have any job in the world, literally any job in the world, I would be the play-by-play announcer for the Seattle Mariners. I would be on the radio every single day.
That's a dark-ass dream.
That's an amazing dream.
So, right now, I'm leaning towards moving to Montana, man. I really mean it. And
all right.
It could be really exciting. And, I mean, the future of the business would really rest on my shoulders, how I perform as a brewer. It's a lot of pressure, but I'm excited to do it, and I'm confident in my ability to execute it and create a good product and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. You have that confidence. And also, Montana's a great market to be in because there really aren't that many breweries out there.
Right.
When you go to Montana, it's basically like Bayern and there's a couple other ones. But, you know, the market is not tapped by any means.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea is to make all our money in the summer because the guy that I'm talking to, he's a big travel guy. His wife was like born in Puerto Rico, or one of those places.
Mm-hmm.
No, God, what's the other island?
Dominican Republic.
No,
Haiti.
Anyway, so they go there every year and stuff. I was like, man, I really want to travel during the winter, like get out of town. I'd love to be able to go to Australia every winter, honestly.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. But that's
freaking expensive. But
I also hear people in Montana, you know, they like really embrace beer culture, unlike over here.
Yeah, Seattle's not – I would say Seattle's indifferent.
Well, I'm excited for you, dude. I do think Bend sounds like the most fun, though. But, like I said, high upside in Montana.
Yeah, I was also talking to the president of the Seattle Distillers Guild, and he was saying that the distilleries in Washington that are surviving are doing it by selling alcohol to Montana because there aren't the distilleries there, and the taxes in Washington on spirits are super high, and that just doesn't exist in Montana. So maybe the plan should be to do this brewery in Montana and then have a spinoff of a distillery.
That sounds great.
Yeah, so That would be exciting.
Well, cool, man. Well, best of luck to you and cheers with whatever you choose.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, well, let's move on to my second topic this week. Second topic is going to be something I'm really excited about, and I hope that we get a hands-on at the upcoming Penny Arcade Expo.
Oculus Rift?
It's not Oculus Rift, but Oculus Rift is my number one target for Penny Arcade. I think that there might be a good chance for us to get hands-on with this game there because there's been a little bit of a lead-up to it over the last few conferences, including Gamescom this week in Germany. And it is being made by a local company here from Seattle. So I feel like there might be some cool stuff going on there. And Jesse, geez, you are so lucky. You get to go on a Hawaiian vacation, come back, and then go straight to PAX.
I know. What's great is, I mean, PAX is my weekend of the year.
Right. It's Christmas.
And yeah. It's Christmas, 4th of July, and the Tet Offensive
right.
wrapped up into one
God,
weekend.
God.
Sorry, that was some sort of weird Full Metal Jacket goof I just made there.
The sad thing is that for a second there, I thought the Tet Offensive was like a Star Wars thing. That's the Fet Offensive. It's also very offensive. All right, go for it.
Yeah. But, like 8 weeks prior, you start getting the PAX jitters, you know?
Oh, yeah. Because
you're so excited yeah. for it. But I haven't gotten those at all yep. because I got this Hawaiian vacation. Like, that's yeah. what I've been looking forward to.
Yeah.
And then it just so happens that I get back from Thursday. Totally coincidentally, by the way, my mom had like some sort of sixth sense on that one.
Right.
Because she bought the plane ticket. So coming yeah. back that Thursday, going to PAX on Friday. And it's no PAX jitters. Very excited.
Jeez, man. It is going to be an insane, insane weekend. I'm so excited. Gino and Aaron coming over. Jim and Aaron to the listeners. But it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Yeah.
Definitely, I really, really, really want to do a six-player
yeah.
Game of Thrones game.
Right.
So that's going to require a couple of Hex 19 guys to pitch in.
That's true. Save it for the Recos. Okay. And then also, you know, just the HP Pubcraft Love Crawl, which has been on my mind like crazy lately. I got all the bracelets, like, I'm putting together all the rules. I printed out posters, so we have posters, nice. Which will be really cool.
Did you print out coasters?
I did not. I do have...
Oh, that's how we could have made our money, is selling pint glasses.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out next year. This is the pilot run.
Yeah.
But,
and this is your project.
It is my project. And then I also
bought why I'm saying our money on your project.
I also bought a megaphone.
I know.
Yeah. So,
when you told me that, I had like a Blues Brothers flashback. I was like, you traded the Bluesmobile for this? No, I traded the Bluesmobile for a megaphone. All right.
Oh, God. Anyway, so that's enough lead up, I think. The game that I'm talking about is Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, which is a third person shooter set in the Plants vs. Zombies universe. Plants vs. Zombies has been making the news lately. I actually got into Plants vs. Zombies pretty late in the game. Early summer was when I played Plants vs. Zombies for the first time.
I've never played it.
It is. I would recommend getting it for your iOS device for the plane ride. Because, no, I guess it wasn't early summer because I played this on the plane ride to my honeymoon and back. And it passed the time so fast. Because each game takes anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes, but it goes by really fast and your brain's engaged the entire time. So you play like mm-hmm. six games, which is very easy to do because it's a very addictive game. And 2 hours have passed. So anyway, I would really recommend you download this for the plane trip. And it's probably also available for your Kindle. Anyway, Plants vs. Zombies, loved it. Then this week, Plants vs. Zombies 2 dropped. There is a difference, though, between the original Plants vs. Zombies and now, PopCap Games, which is a Seattle company, got bought by EA. So,
uh-oh.
Yeah. So, Plants vs. Zombies 2, as opposed to being $2, I think, is what Plants vs. Zombies is. It's free to play, but you have to pay to unlock the plants in the game. Basically, all the plants you know and love from the first Plants vs. Zombies, you have to pay real money to buy them.
How much? Like, how many plants are there going to be?
Well, there's usually, I don't know, I'd say probably 40 plants in a game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of plants. But
are you going to have to pay for each of them?
No. There's plants that unlock automatically, but basically there are a lot of plants that you have to buy using coins, in-app purchases, which I don't get, man. I just don't get it. I would much rather pay. I would easily pay $5 for this game. I'd easily pay, honestly, like $7 to $8 for this game because I tore through Plants vs. Zombies. It is a great game. It's a really, really fun game to play. And I would pay for it. No prob. But, like, people have been saying in the negative reviews that they plan on this game, pun intended, they've been saying that, like, you would have to spend upwards of $25 to unlock everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for an
iOS game. And also, there's some kind of tomfoolery happening because if you go on to – this was actually uncovered on Reddit today with the Reddit Investigates crew. But
I didn't know that was a thing.
That's what I just call it when Reddit investigates things.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. It reminds me of what's it like Jesse Jones and
and the King 5 Investigators.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah. I call it Law and Order RI, Reddit Investigation.
There you go.
Gung.
Bum, bum.
But anyway, so somebody covered this today that, like, if you go to Plants vs. Zombies, it's got over – Plants vs. Zombies 2 has over 60,000 ratings and reviews. It's got an average rating of 4.5. But if you go through the ratings, it's really hard to find a rating that is above 1. So
– how does it have 4.5 then?
Well, there's speculation that EA flooded the ratings.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Reddit Investigates. Tonight at 11.
Bum, bum.
So anyway, it's just like some shady stuff going on. Like, don't take something that great and just really destroy it. Like, I don't know.
Like Mass Effect 2? I mean, I said it before. I don't buy EA stuff anymore. Yeah. If it has EA is the stamp of death.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about how the title is or the fun of the game or anything. They take a game and they see it as a money-making opportunity, and that's it.
Right.
And they really – I mean, they don't care. They're a business that's run around making money, which, fair.
Fine.
Go ahead and do that. Yep. But their products that they put out are consistently bad.
And don't alienate
and I refuse to buy them.
Don't alienate your customer base. It's not that hard, guys. Listen to your customers. Give them what they want. That's
how
business works.
Well, the USA is – I would call it indifferent on gaming.
Yeah, Reddit really indifferent on gaming.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Plants vs. Zombies. And plus the graphics. I know that they're more formatted for the iPad, but on an iPhone they look a little – they actually look cheesier than the first game.
Mm.
I don't know. I put up a stink. I still played the hell out of this game. And if you don't make any of the in-app purchases, basically you're just playing on hard mode. So it's more of a challenge. anyway, so Plants vs. Zombies 2 came out. But then the big game that they announced at E3 is Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, which is going to be a release on Xbox and Xbox One. It's going to be an Xbox/Xbox One exclusive to begin with, and it'll eventually roll off into the other consoles. So at E3, they announced what it was. They showed some gameplay from the plant's perspective. You could play as the cactus. You could play as the sunflower. You could play as what else? There's like the punch and onion. And then basically you'd plant turrets, which were other plants, and then you'd like fight the zombies. But at Gamescom in Germany this week, they announced the zombie side. So you actually get to play as the zombies too, and there are different classes of zombies. There's a scientist. There's an engineer. There's soldiers. So, in looking at this and looking at the gameplay and looking at all they've done, I'm actually really excited for this game. And I'm excited that it might open up a genre. And that's basically what I'm calling the cart shooter. Because it's basically taking the idea of like a Mario Kart, which is taking Mario and the world of Mario and just throwing it into a racing game. But this is basically taking the world of a video game and throwing it into a shooter, which I personally would like to see more of. I like shooters that are more fun. That's what makes Team Fortress 2 so endearing. So I would be very excited if they had this game at PAX. It's something I'm looking forward to. One of the things, like, I think it'd be cool to have, like, a Mario shooter. Where, like, Mario runs around and you're playing against, like, you play as, like, Mario, Luigi, Toad, but then you're fighting against Wario and Bowser and, like, Goombas and stuff. You can play as a Goomba. And you'll have, like, goofy guns instead of, like, you know, super powerful sniper rifles or whatever. You'd still have your sniper, but I don't know. I think it'd be kind of a cool thing. And that's why I'm kind of rooting for this game, because I would like to see more games in this genre.
You want to see more shooters?
I want to see more fun shooters. I feel like we have so many shooter clones.
Yeah, the military shooters.
Right.
As it were.
It blows my mind that anybody, like, okay, Battlefield, Call of Duty. Well, you have two Call of Duties. You have Modern Warfare, and then you have Black Ops. And then you have, and I guess Call of Duty Ghosts now. And then you have, Counter-Strike, and you have, it's basically just all these clones of military shooters. And then you have your sci-fi shooter in Halo, which is all well and good. But that's kind of run its course. But people want fun in games. I think that's why Borderlands was so big. Like, people just want to have fun in games. So make shooters more fun.
I disagree with you. If I'm going to play shooter, I like it to be, like, hyper-realistic. I like it where, like, I don't like it when you're a bullet sponge and you have to, like, throw out a bunch of shots and you're firing a mini cannon that's all cartoony and they're flying off in all sorts of different directions. I like it where, like, it's, you know, one bullet, one kill kind of thing.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Personally. Because I like the skill in it. I don't know. If I'm going to play a shooter, I want it to be, like, shooting.
Well, I
don't want it to be, like, cartoony.
I think that you and I are different shooter players, definitely.
Well, that's because I'm good.
Exactly. You're good. And, like, when I sit down and I have a video game experience, I basically, especially if it's a multiplayer experience, I want to have an experience that's, like, super fun.
I have super fun from those, though.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing like the rush of a game that's, like, super precise. And, you know, if you take one shot, it could be the death of you. And you end up, like, killing five guys in a row because you played your hand really well and made all of your shots super precisely and done everything just right to be able to survive and also put yourself in an advantageous position. That's the type of endorphin rush that, like, takes me a while to come down from.
Well, that's totally fine. I'm not faulting you for that. I'm just saying, like, more of a party. Like, when I go to a game nowadays, when I turn on my Xbox, I'm either playing a sports game or, like, I want to get into a party escapist world. Like, I just get stressed out in shooters. And so I'm kind of excited for the prospect of a shooter where I won't get so stressed out. And, like, when we go to, it's weird, like, one of the only games we consistently play at PAX in the LAN room is Team Fortress 2.
Which I don't love.
Yeah, and I don't play that game. I own that game, but I don't play it by myself. And I never play it with you guys outside of PAX, but when we go to PAX, that's like the game that we play.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Team Fortress 2 kind of opened the door, but it'd be interesting to see if there's some other stuff, like I say, maybe a Mario shooter coming out or something like that.
I don't think they're going to make a Mario shooter.
But if they make it goofy enough, they can make it like a Super Mario Sunshine shooter where everybody has water guns.
Yeah, I feel like Nintendo's just so conservative, they're not even going to do that.
Water guns. Water gun peripheral for your Wii U.
There you go. Just get that Wii U soaking wet.
another thing that came out is that Star Wars Battlefront, which has been done by DICE, overseen by EA. Yeah, they're so basically talking about they were talking about making the Star Wars video game universe more diverse and opening up new worlds. And I was like, they're like, you know, basically what Batman did, what they did with Arkham Asylum with Batman, like really, really opening up new possibilities. But really, Arkham Asylum, I feel like, also opened up the door for the Injustice Gods Among Us video game, which is a fighting video game set in the DC universe. And they've done that before. They had Mortal Kombat versus DC, but that didn't really fly that well. And they just like
DC versus Capcom, which was big.
Yeah.
Or was it Marvel versus?
Marvel versus Capcom. Yeah, yeah, Marvel versus Capcom and then Mortal Kombat versus DC. But yeah, dude, give me Star Wars fighting game. I don't know. Let's throw shit at the wall.
But it's EA, so they'll be like, the kids love the Gungans. We're going to make it mostly Gungan-oriented, and then it's pay to unlock anyone other than Jar Jar.
Jesse, I think I would pay to beat up Jar Jar in a game. I think I would pay for that.
I feel like that's a Pyrrhic victory. Everyone's a loser in that situation.
If I could pistol whip Jar Jar.
Blaster whip.
Yeah, blaster whip him as Boba Fett, I think I would probably get some joy out of that. That would be worth my 99 cents, I think.
Yeah, but they'll make it $59.99.
To unlock Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Unlock Luke Skywalker, $100. Unlock his hand, another $100. Anyway.
Yeah, man, seriously, though, like, EA is a stamp of death as far as I'm concerned.
They are. They got the track record of really killing some shit. They're literally, like, killing their own franchise in the NCAA football franchise. We don't need to get into that, but the way that that's unraveling is really interesting to me as well.
Really? I haven't heard about this.
Oh, NCAA pulled out. You can't have NCAA in the game anymore.
Oh.
Like the words NCAA or the logo. So now EA has to negotiate individually with every school to get them in the game. And they could have done this, you know, conference by conference, but then the SEC pulled out, which is arguably the most desired conference. You can't have an NCAA football game without the SEC in it.
Why'd they pull out?
Because they don't, I don't know. They just didn't like the contract structure or something, and they weren't interested, or it wasn't worth it to them. So now, in order to get the SEC schools in there, they have to negotiate individually with each SEC school in order to get their license in the game. That's a nightmare, EA. Anyway. I think that's enough for this week. We're going to get to the Facebook roundup, but before we do, we're going to talk to you about the Bald Move Network. Because show is up. Guess what, guys? Breaking Bad's back. Which means Breaking Good is back. Get your final season fix. Breaking Good podcast. Do it today.
Yeah, it's almost done, eh?
Well, it's good. They're in like episode 2 or 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then of course Up Yours Downstairs. So go to baldmove.com, get all your podcast needs filled at baldmove.com. And you can always get in touch with us as well, guys. You can write us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. You can go to our Twitter, @personalpodcast. You can also rate and review us on iTunes. And we are on Facebook. There is the Personal Arrogance Facebook page and the Bald Move Facebook page. Like them both, follow them both, get all of your updates on both. If you like what we do, rate and review us on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. And also, tell a friend. That is a great way to spread the virus that is personal arrogance throughout the interweb space in your brains. You done?
I'm done.
Okay, Facebook roundup. Each week, sometimes we do it 15 minutes before the podcast, but each week we do post a thread on Facebook, ask us what you want us to talk about. This time we posted it 15 minutes before and we're like, oh crap, we're not going to get anything. And only 8 people said hi. So we want to thank our listeners because they're very attentive on Facebook and we love talking to you guys. Rob Zip says, you guys should talk about how much the Sounders overpaid Dempsey and how fun it was to watch them get their ass beat down by Houston on Saturday. Couple things about this. First of all, first game with the club. Second of all, that it sounds like a jealousy statement because Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah, I didn't know Patrick Dempsey was.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know he was either. He's actually over at Seattle Grey Hospital.
He bought Tully's and bought himself a position on the Sounders.
Exactly. But Clint Dempsey is the best American soccer player. So you know, the Heat lost their first championship with LeBron James, and then they won the next two. Get off my back. Anyway, Josh Perigo from Maine says, I just watched a show on Netflix about dogs and selective breeding. Did you know a Russian scientist developed a breed of bomb-sniffing dogs from jackals that the airline he works for actually owns the rights to the breed? I found it fascinating. It brings up lots of questions. It does if the Supreme Court said that you couldn't actually patent a gene. So in the United States, that dog is free reign. So come to the U.S. I think that's a straight up trade for Snowden. Just drop us the bomb box. Anyway, J.M. Baxter says, worst commercial on TV today? It's kind of a tough question.
Yeah, I hate to be that guy, but I really don't watch TV. I don't have it.
The problem is,
I don't mean that in like an I'm better than you kind of way. I probably would if I had more money, but I don't, so.
Well, I mean, the other thing is like I just watch like basically Netflix. I've been binge watching old seasons of Mad Men lately. Really, the only time I watch television is like in the morning because I sometimes I turn on the TV while I'm like getting ready for work. And the problem is like the Today Show or any morning show is literally 50% commercials.
Yeah.
One that I saw this morning that really bothered me, though, is that Chevy commercial, the Chevy year-end event commercial. Because, like, this guy is dreaming, and there's all these people running into the building, and they're all saying, like, I want that one. That one's mine. That one's mine. They're, like, fighting over them. And, like, if you want to sell cars, probably don't want to say that that's the environment in one of your stores. Because, like, if I'm going to buy a car, I don't want to have to go in and wrestle some dude for it.
Well, I mean, everyone loves Black Friday, right?
That's true. I want to get tasered over an iPad.
Maybe that is what people want.
Maybe.
The American consumer wants some sort of neo-gladiatorial consumer-based environment.
There you go. Buy a Chevy. You will get tasered. Mike Wazowski, Hasina, says, being inexplicably intrigued by the show Breaking Amish and deciding on and dedicating an hour every week to watch it. Worse than a punch in the face.
Is this the one where it's like the weird reenactments that are obviously fake?
No, that's Amish Mafia, dude.
Oh, sorry. What is Breaking Amish?
Breaking Amish, it's a show on TLC, and...
Oh, so you're learning something.
Yeah, the learning channel, or as I like to call it, the anti-learning channel. They basically
good
turn
stuff.
Into... I know, right? Good joke. Anyway, so the cast, basically the cast moves to New York and they're going to Rumspringa.
Oh no, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's the good one.
Okay.
And it's got that like kind of hot blonde girl, right?
Hey man, Amish are sexy.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
And the guy that got all the tattoos and stuff right away.
Huh?
Yeah. No, that one's surprisingly good.
All right. So I guess it's not worse than a punch in the face.
I'm with Mike on this one.
Also, I believe the new one is it's Breaking Amish Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. So they're turning it into some sort of Jersey Shore thing, probably.
Well, it sounds
but
more
at
like
least the
real
first
world.
Season was actually good.
I want Breaking Amish Seattle.
Because they, well, Seattle's I would say is indifferent on the Amish.
Probably. Christian William Maurer says, just to answer a question from a few weeks ago, D23. The Disney Fan Club stands for Disney and 1923, the year Walt and his brother Roy founded the Disney Brothers Cartoon Studio.
Bam. Facted.
Facted. Just got facted. And then finally, Jonathan Drozd says cheese. Jesse, your thoughts?
I'm a goat cheese guy.
You like the goats?
I love goat cheese.
I would never buy Velveeta, but every time I eat it at a party... It is my favorite thing.
You're kidding.
Dude, cheese spread
is... disgusting.
Cheese spread is delicious.
Oh,
on a tortilla chip.
Okay, podcast over. Let's wrap it up.
All right, Jesse, what's your first reco?
My first recommendation is a little board game called A Game of Thrones, the board game.
Pretty good board game.
I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to playing it to completion with six players. I feel like it's the type of game that is... It was designed for six players.
Yeah. It's really like the game you have to play with six players.
I don't know if you have to, but if you play it with four players, there definitely has to be a three-way alliance against House Baratheon from the get-go. Yeah.
It's tough, dude, because you're playing Greyjoy. You basically have to fight your way out, which makes it really hard to make allies.
Yeah, just swing down around, take Highgarden, and focus on Dorne and stuff.
I guess.
Just don't piss off Lannister. You got to work Lannister and Stark together against Baratheon from turn one if in a four-player game.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm really, really jazzed up for a six-player game during PAX. It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be good. Another idea is to play two-player, but each player plays three houses.
Yeah, I mean, there's not even rules for two players. I mean, the game is built around, like, fragile alliances, so yeah. You're not going to make an alliance with two players.
Yeah, this house makes an alliance with that house, but not that house.
You could do three players with two houses each, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, pretty good game. Pick it up. It's worth it. My first reco this week is going to be a movie. It's called Warm Bodies. I rented this on Amazon. It is worth the rental. It's one of those movies that, like, if I saw it in the theater, I'd be pretty underwhelmed. But, like, totally worth the rental. Totally worth, like, a weeknight rental. It's about zombies and love. And it gets pulled off pretty well. I enjoyed it. And it's got John Malkovich in it, so get off my back.
There you go.
Jesse, what's your seco?
My seco-mendation is I won't be picking up Plants vs. Zombies for the plane.
Okay.
What I did pick up is Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah, yeah. That's
which
great.
Is the M14
yep.
Edition for the yep. Kindle. And it's really nice. It gives you like a free version to check out first
yep,
and play around
demo.
With. And then
mm-hmm.
it's 10 boners to unlock, but I paid yeah. for it.
Yep.
And it has like the campaign and all these decks and everything. Yep. But it also includes one sealed tournament, which I'm pretty excited for.
Oh, cool.
It's like you can build like a draft deck and play with
wow.
it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the M13 version, and it's a sweet game. It is worth the dough. You will get your money's worth out of that game.
Yeah.
And
anything to keep me occupied on the plane.
Did you get a free card too?
I don't know.
Because like with the M13 version, when you bought it, you got a Garrick Wild Speaker that you just entered a code and they would mail it to you.
I don't think I got that.
Damn it! All right.
Wigwam.
Wigwam. And then my recommendation this week is go camping, guys. The winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
And camping is the camping season is coming to a close. But get out there while you can because it is a fun time. And mm-hmm. Go with your friends.
The small folks say a long summer is followed by an even longer winter.
There you go. So I think that's it for this week, guys. Thanks so much. Keep in touch. Next week we're going to have a very special edition of the Personal Arrogance Podcast.
It'll be especially special for me.
Exactly. So stay tuned for that. And until next time, wherever you go.
Whatever you do.
Please stay
arrogant.